somebody, or you just, or maybe it'll be for you later on, maybe for you now, maybe somebody's going right through it. But without a shadow of a doubt, this message tonight is for everybody here. it's just something that when you hear it and read it and study it, you're going to know. I had a little funny situation happen to me Monday of this week. We went down to play a basketball game with the church team. To be honest, I really didn't want to go. And then I was like, all right, I'll go. I feel obligated. We didn't play Sunday night over here, so I was like, I don't feel bad. So I said, all right, I'll go. So then I got down there, and the whole way down there, I was thinking, man, I got this really good little spot devotional that I want to share because it's what God's working on me with. And I'm going to use that verse tonight, one of them. So I did. I shared the verse, and it's about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as men, we need to be careful what we say and how we say it. We'll get into the verse a little bit deeper, but it comes from your treasures of your heart. Amen? And when you think that way and you go, oh, we go to treasures, we go to a different place, just go to your bank account, okay? So when you get in trouble and you need to, say you get a medical injury, something breaks around your house, you have to go into the bank and pull out of your account money to pay for that, right? And it doesn't matter, whatever comes out of that bank is what you have. It's what's real, right? So when you get mad or happy, really, really happy or really, really mad, you go to make a withdrawal from your spiritual account, your heart, and out of your mouth comes who you really are, right? Thought this was hilarious because we started the game and I missed every shot that I shot. I played basketball since I was 4 years old. I can't remember. I laid there the night after that. I'm laying there and I'm thinking, from 4 years old till I'm 40, of that day, 49. That's my birthday day. Birthday. I'm done on my birthday. That's another bad idea when you're 49. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm going, I can't remember a time where I've missed every shot. Every one of them. And they were all like, but at halftime, or right at the, right after halftime, I missed my first three or four shots. I didn't even run down to the other end. I went over to Johnny. He's like, get me out now. And then we got a turnover. I shot the ball again. I missed it again. I said, get me out. He got me out. I was so mad. I was walking down the sideline. I walked outside. I got outside, and I thought, everybody in there is thinking I'm just hot. And I was. I walked out the door. The door shut, and I began to laugh. I said, man, God, you're hilarious. This is awesome. Usually you let me eat a message months or years down the road. This is right now. Boy, this tastes good. Because I wanted to say, what are you doing? Man, but I couldn't help but laugh. I walked right back in. I'm like, it doesn't matter. But ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing that you can say things as a Christian? That's kind of what I'm going to teach on tonight. We can profess to be believing in Jesus Christ and ruin it all by our words. And when I'm preaching tonight, I want you to get this. This is not cussing people out. It's better than that. Amen. It's deeper than that. It's you telling somebody stuff that's not biblical. Or you share something that's biblical and then ruin it by being bitter, mean, or a lie, or you cheat somebody. Or somebody just hears you say things that are not right. Are we good? See, I was doing good. I tell you, this message is going to hit home. And tonight, I want you to do something about the message. I don't want you to hear this. We need to teach this every year, at least once. But find somebody you're accountable to. Somebody that you love that can speak into your life that you don't get mad when they say something to you that's correcting. I don't. If you don't have somebody like that, grow up. Did I say that out loud? If you've got some correct people that love you, you know they love you, but if they can't correct you, then there's something wrong. There's an immaturity in your life. Amen? Ask somebody. If you hear things coming out of my voice, out of my mouth, that kind of burn you, that kind of get on you, that as a Christian, will you please let me know? Let's jump into Word. Y'all ready? Let's go. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I love the King James Version Bible. But when I read this right here for a year, I'm like, what in the world does that mean? It's almost like the old English is twisted and it's backwards, right? Because it makes what read. Let's just say it this way. Hey, brothers. Hey, believers. Hey, everybody in here, it's a believer in Jesus Christ. Be careful that not many of you become teachers of the Word of God, okay? Because when you become a teacher of the Word of God and you don't teach it correctly, there is a greater condemnation or there is a greater judgment for those who do teach the Word of God. And if you don't teach it correctly, you will be held accountable. Amen? When I first started teaching this, I thought, man, why did God put that here in this section of the Bible? Because I believe if you're not careful, we start adding what we like and what we don't like and what we think people should do instead of what the Word of God says to do. And then all of a sudden, we're mixing the Word of God. It's like a mincemeat. There's real good stuff in there, but then there's also some stuff in there that's killing people, that's wearing people out. And they're sitting there going, I don't know how to perform. On one thing, you're saying I'm saved by grace, and then you add something, almost feel like I got to do some work to be right. And you leave out the fact that there's no way for you to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and love others as yourself without the Holy Ghost inside of you. That's the problem. Because a lot of people are trying to do church, and they're trying to get good enough. They're trying to be good and they're going to be better. You'll never get better without Jesus. But I want you to understand this. And don't get me wrong. I don't think there's a person on the face of the planet that operates a church or a ministry who doesn't want people to volunteer. But be careful before you pick up the Word of God and tell somebody what the Word of God says if you don't understand that. It's a dangerous place. Because if you give them the wrong information and then they never come back and they hold that as truth and you do more harm than good, you will be accountable for that. I pray. I'm being honest with you. I'm not doing this to keep people from doing, but before God, I'm telling you, before He called me to preach and teach the Word of God, man, I was worried. And I wasn't worried if I knew enough. I was worried that, God, I'm going to lead somebody astray. I don't want to do this if you're not in this. And God just sat down upon my life. And then I want to tell you this. Then you have to get in this book. Do you hear what I say? This book. And I don't care if this book has a study part of it. I don't care if David Jeremiah. I don't care if Billy Graham. I don't care what it is. If there are study notes at the bottom, that's not Bible. That's another human being. You better know what the Bible says. And read it and pray over it and study it and say, God, I ain't going to teach a word until you let me hear a word from you. And then that's all I'm going to teach. It would be better for you to teach 5 words of what God says than 100 words of what you and God says, or mostly you. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I don't think as modern day Christians that we put enough weight on that, because I watch TV and I see people taking the Word of God and mixing it with so much stuff. And I feel sorry for the people who have to endure that, but I feel sorry for those men that are going to stand before God and God's going to say, whoa. I think a lot of people started out in a good way. I believe they wanted to change the world, but all of a sudden they seen another way. They seen God's glory. They seen God's women, or they seen God's money, and they said, I want that just as much as I want God. When I teach the Word of God, I have one goal in mind. My one goal is somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and or they grow in Christ Jesus. I don't care if I get anything out of it. One of the greatest things people could say about me is I got something out of that, and it changed my life. That's the goal. That's the mission. For verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect, a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Let me read that again slower. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Get this in your head. I'm telling you, it would be better for us sometimes just to be quiet. It would be better as a Christian sometimes for you just to go, I'm not saying anything. I'm not prepared. Let me go back to the studying part. I'm not prepared right there. I'm not ready. I'm not studied up. I didn't really get a good grasp of this. I'm not putting it in context. It's something I heard. It's something that I put together. I'm guilty of this. Something I've heard somebody else, and I put it with something else. Oh, you better be careful. Amen. It would be better for you to say, all right, I'm not going to do it. All right, let's just go a little bit further than that. There's things that you can say. I've caught myself doing this at probably 3 or 4 times in just in the last week or two. I don't need to say this. Say it out loud. I'll say it right out loud. I don't need to say this. Guess what happens in about 2 minutes or less than 2 minutes? In about 30 seconds, what happens? I say it. You know why? Because my flesh wants to. I shouldn't say this about so-and-so. I shouldn't say this about this situation. Pause. You know what would be good right there? Chunk. You know what would be good right there? Just pray. You know what would be good right there? Dead silence. But instead, what do we do sometimes? But let me tell you. Hey, listen, guys. This ain't some message that I conjured up for everybody in here to feel, but I got this right here as a believer. This right here will ruin you as a Christian faster than anything else. Your mouth. God said, you can control, you can offend. You know what happens if you don't offend in word? Because you can work it out. Because if you don't hurt them any other way, you don't say it, guess what? They can say, well, maybe you just misunderstood. Maybe I misunderstood what's going on. But if you open your mouth and confirm it, it's over. Amen? There's things happening today. I don't agree with them. I don't think you should cancel people. I don't think you should get rid of people. But ain't it amazing that people go back and find information that was said and done? Got to be careful. You know what had been good a long time ago? And if somebody said, you know what? Not saying that. I know there's some things that are just crazy on that, so don't get sideways with me after church. Well, I don't believe people should be canceled either for things that they said 100 years ago. But guess what? Be careful what you say. Amen? Behold, it gives great examples right here. These are just good old-fashioned Bible examples. You don't have to get so spiritual about it. You have to get out of the way with it. It's just good. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn them about their whole bodies. What's this? Your mouth is going to set your path. Your mouth is going to set your path. And let me tell you something. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm about to dig right here. I'm going to put a plow down right here and dig. As a believer in Jesus Christ, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it does about how you operate in this building and on this campus. Just about anybody can come in here and act good for a little bit. Amen? But when you get outside these four walls and you're running business, you're with friends, you're with doing people, in your mouth, amen? Where do you go to church? I go to Flat Top Church. You wear the shirt. You can put a sticker on the back of your car. You can tell people when you invite people. But if the way you are in a restaurant, people hear you. Amen? People hear you at a restaurant. You sit there and you run. If you run somebody down from church, if you talk about people in the community, talk about people in family, and they hear that. Let me share one that's really where I'm going to put my plow down right here. This is where the plow comes down big time. If you've got somebody in your household that is a believer or not a believer, or somebody who's struggling to serve and follow Jesus. If you lie, you manipulate, if you do things that are opposite, I don't care what you do in this house. I don't care if you sing, preach, teach. I don't care what you say in here. I don't care how you say it. If you get home and you act out totally different out of your mouth, that person is taking record with their ears. And they're sitting there going, and then you'll be like this. I'm praying for them. I'm talking. I don't know why. I can't. Because you know what they're doing? You're talking about when you come, man, the preaching was so good. The singing was so good. The Spirit of God was moving. But then all of a sudden that week they're listening to you. Amen? Manipulation, lying, backbiting, cursing, whatever it might be. Amen. It could just be as simply as a bitter spirit. It can be just as simple as a bitter spirit. I don't like so-and-so. I don't think they should be doing this at the church. I hear people sometimes, they don't know, they don't have a clue what anybody's going through. When they walk through these four, they don't have a clue. It could be a miracle that somebody walks in these four walls. It could just be a plain miracle that they're even here. We can look at them and say, well, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they've done that. Praise God. If you see somebody who made it to the house of God, what you need to do is say, thank God they got to the right place. And you start praying for them. Amen? Did you get that? Now listen, I'm telling you, you need some accountability on this. I'm going to preach it like God give it to me. We need accountability on this. You need to say to yourself, sometimes this ain't right. Shut up. Amen? That's just the bottom line. You need somebody in your life to look, hey, it's time for you to be quiet. I've got some good in my life like that. There's been times where I'm the pastor of this church, and I can get to walking on something, and all of a sudden I've got a good wife who'll just tap me on the leg and just say, hey, Kevin, you need to shut up. And I'm like, what? I'm not even noticing. She's like, you're talking about your church. Oh, okay. And then I'll start thinking about it. Oh, I could be talking about things that are in a context that are good. But guess what? Out of context, and we don't always get to pick the context people take them in. I need to be watching what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying now? And that goes on. And I don't care if you're two wonderful believers and you get up in the morning, you get your coffee, you get your Bible, you get your pray on, you get your stuff on, you got your coffee and your Jesus going on, but all of a sudden, one thing comes up and all of a sudden you're blowing somebody up from church. God is not in that either. I don't care if your husband's on fire for God, you're on fire for God, but you both got to put your mouth on somebody else. God ain't in that either. Amen? Whew, man. Anybody ready? We can have altar call at this point. I feel like God's just taking a butcher knife to me. And I know where he's working at. Amen. Behold, all the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. These both things, huge things, turned by such small things. Guess what it says? Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And after you burn something, you can't unburn it. After you let that thing out, I don't care. It's going somewhere. Amen? It's going, and it'll go, and it'll keep burning. It reminds me when I was a little kid, I loved to set fires. I did. I loved it. I burned a field down one time with some gasoline and some matches. But the best fire I ever had, one of the best ones, one of the best experiences, I got beat for that one. But this one, I didn't learn my lesson. I'm sitting in my bedroom. My mom, I don't know what she was thinking, moved a potted plant into my bedroom. And it had this nice crocheted thing that was holding the plant. It looked like it was brown, it was dry, and it looked like something that would burn well. And I remember looking at that crochet thing, and I'm sitting there thinking, and it had about 10 of these things that were hanging down, and it had a little crochet back. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't have a clue what it was, but I knew one thing. Man, I wonder what it'd look like if you just burned one of the edges. Right? So I started off. Whoa, look at there. That sparked. I must have got a hold of the dry one because the next one, poof, it went all the way to the ceiling. It was gone. I was like, holy cow. Next thing you know, the pot, the plant, the whole thing falls down the floor. It's on fire. I'm jumping up and down on it. Mom comes in there. She goes, what are you doing? I'm like, this pot plant just fell out of the sky. Didn't fall out of the sky. It's on fire. She goes, did you burn that? No. I got a whooping for lying and burning the thing. You could have burnt the house down. But you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't unburn it. It was a steaming, hot mess laying in the floor, burned everything up. And you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't go back and do anything about it. Even when I lied, I couldn't stop it. Even trying to cover, oh gosh, please, there's nothing you can do. You know what? When those words come out of your mouth and people hear them, you know what they do? They put them in a bank, and it ain't nothing you're going to do to ever get them back. You can do better. You're going to get another test on it, but you need to realize, praise God, lying, manipulating, being bitter, being mean as a believer in Jesus Christ hurts other people. It hurts them. And when they hear it, they're thinking, man, these are the only people that really care about me. And all of a sudden, they're like, wait a minute, they're the same as everybody else. Be careful. We need to be careful. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Man, that's serious. Verse 7, for every kind of beast, and of the bird, of the serpents, and of the king, the things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Put it that way, deadly poison. What happens when somebody gets bit by something that's poisonous? Does it kill them right away? It hurts, but then it gets in the bloodstream, then it has a reaction. It takes a while, but guess what? You know when you've been bit, and you know the response, when you go, oh man, that's terrible. I want y'all to get this. I want y'all to really let this sink in. What these things do, you without the Holy Spirit of God, you can't fix your tongue. And let me get this. I want to do a little surgery right here too. Praise God. God saved you, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're on your way to heaven, amen? But guess what? God is still working on you. And some of we need to resign to the fact that God ain't fixed one of the hardest parts to fix, the tongue. Let Him get a hold of it. Let Him get a hold of it. Go to Him and say, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I'm not a meth addict. I'm not on heroin. I'm not stealing. I'm not lying. I'm not committing adultery. But praise God, I can't keep my mouth off people. Amen. I can't keep talking about people. I say things that are ruining my testimony. God, help me be quiet until I can speak for you and about you and do it the right way. And some of us, sometimes I do it, man. I'm guilty of this. Sometimes as a believer, I think if I go through the whole day without sinning in some big way, then I've done great. And I still ain't tamed my tongue. And I say, I've forgiven them, I'm over it, I don't care. But if the right person came up, we got in a conversation, I could run back the story real quick. I can go back and tell you the whole story. How many times have you told a story about somebody that you've already told that you've forgiven them? You've forgiven them and you're over it and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you have rehearsed a story about somebody else and it's ran them all the way to the ground. How many times are you going to keep telling that story? How many times are you going to keep that alive? It's about time you take it to a fire break and say, I'm done with that. I'll never rehearse it again. Whew. Man, we could have altar call after altar call after altar call on this message. But you know what? We really don't need altar calls anymore. We do. Somebody's going to, I know that's a, somebody's going to send me a message. God, can't believe you said we don't need it. Man, we need to stop coming to the altar if we ain't going to let it alter our lives. We need to stop coming to the altar and saying something to God and then going right back out of here and living the same exact way. Do you think he has any, when he sees you coming and you're pouring it out, but he's sitting there going, well, I know exactly what they're doing. They're emotional. They're pouring it out. The Spirit's moving on them. But I want to see what they do when they go out of here. Wouldn't it be good, instead of you going to the altar, getting up and saying everything that you're going to change everything, wouldn't it be good for about 6 months, somebody just look at you and go, man, I've noticed that the way you talk and the way you carry yourself is totally different. And man, it is making me hungry and thirsty for Jesus. It's making me want to get closer to God. Amen? I've never had one person, when I've ran stories, talked down about people, criticized, been bitter, been angry, and fired my best shots, I've never had anybody go, man, that really blessed my soul. You know what I've had, though? When I've spoke for God, when I've prayed over people, when I've said, why don't we just stop right here and just pray? I've had people go, man, that changed everything. Ain't it amazing? It ain't, we're not, we make Christianity so complicated. We make doing things for God so complicated. And usually the hardest things we have to do are the easiest things we have to do. Whew. Man, I needed this message. I don't know if y'all need it, but I do. Verse 9. You'd think it gets better, but it don't. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse men, which are made of the same similitude. Whew, how about that one? Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You're in here praising God, hallelujah, I'm blessed, I'm favored, roof over my head, food on my table, clothes, shoes on my feet, hallelujah, and that is awesome. Go out here and wear everybody out. Go out here and talk about pastor didn't do this, deacons didn't, councilman didn't do this, I didn't like that person, I didn't like, man, and everybody around you goes, God, where do they go to church at? What? Well, I thought, ain't that the person that talks about how God's been blowing them up? Right? Ain't that it? Ain't that us? Man, we should, there's, how many times, let me ask you this question. I know it's a simple, basic, very, very basic logic. How many times would you go drink out of a beautiful, I think it when I was a kid, there was a spring off of Stump Street Road. You'd ride a mile and then ride another mile, cross railroad track, or get on the highway and whip in there real quick and go over this thing and get in there into a little, there's a little brook spring, a little mountain spring, and there was a ladle out there. Amen? This is a whole different era than we live in. Amen? One little old ladle. You put this little board up, probably had all kinds of bacteria on it too, and you took that ladle, everybody in town drank out of that thing, and you get down there on your hands and knees, and you just lop it in until you're done. And then the next person gets in there and lops it in until the last person puts the board back on there where all the water don't run all at one time. Praise is the best, coolest water there ever has been. It's the best. I mean, it's good when you'll ride as a kid a mile out of your way just get a drink of water. But you know what? If I'd have got down there with that ladle, took a sip out of it, and it's just nasty water, and then went down there another time, and it was nice and cool, and went down there again, and it was just nasty, about two times, I'm going to be like, no, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Because you never know what you're going to get out of that. I mean, one day you might get prayed for. One day you might get blessed. One day they might shout the roof off. And the next day they're mean as snakes. They'll backbite. They'll curse you out. They would tell you you're no good. They'll run everybody down that's supposed to be. They'll talk about the person that's blessed them the most. They'll wear them out. I'm just tired of wondering what I'm going to get. Amen? You want to be that. I love when the Bible, y'all like that kind of stuff. Right there to verse 10 goes, these things ought to meet not to be so. You ain't got to be a doggone scholar to figure this out. You couldn't be nasty, salty water and clean, pure drinking water, and you can't mix. That ain't got to be. You can't be that way. You better make up your mind. Because God, I hate to tell you, God, he will get you. He will take you off the field for that. He will take you off the playing field. He will take you out of life for that. Because people will just start saying, man, that's Christian. Whew. Here's the last two verses I'm going to give them to you. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? In verse 12, doth a fountain send forth, verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine of figs, so can no fountain, both yield salt water and fresh water. Take your Bibles real quick. We ain't going to stay too long. To Luke 6:45. This is that verse that God just thought he was. He's a funny God. He has a comedy about him. He does laugh, and I think he laughs at me a lot. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it goes along right with that verse. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Go back up to verse 43. Let me show you this right here real quick too. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known of its own fruit. Amen? One of the biggest ways that we produce fruit, I hate to say it this way, is what comes out of our mouths. God says you can't be one thing or other. If you are not a grapevine, you cannot produce something terrible. You got to have grapes. Amen? You can't be a briar bush. No grapes on it whatsoever. People are going to be like, that'll just hurt you. Amen? You go over the grapevine and say, there's grapes there. That's the same comparison. I know this is so basic. But does anybody in here struggle with it? Does anybody here struggle with it? I know it's basic. But sometimes it's people having a hard time discerning who you really are and where you really stand. It's because we're producing some stuff that shouldn't be there. Amen? It's confusing. Go back to James chapter 3. We're going to go to 13. We're going to finish right here. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Who is a wise man? Now, this is my favorite verse out of the Old Testament. I've used this verse just about my whole life as a believer. Proverbs 29:11. If you get a chance, run over with me. I use this verse when I ran the boys' home and I was at our master's camp continuously. This was my go-to verse, because when you're working with men in crisis, men talk better than they walk. Amen? Men tend to make great speeches. Men who are addicted, and men in general, they make great speeches and rarely follow up. That's, you know, this worldly, okay? So I would hear myself quote this verse so many times. A fool uttereth all of his mind. Amen? Have you ever listened to somebody you're just sitting there going, man, you need to be quiet. You're hurting yourself, right? A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. You will seem so wise when you don't say some things at all. Amen? When you feel yourself getting loose and out of control with your words, something should go off and say, a fool uttereth his whole mind. I need to be quiet. I need to marinate. Listen, I'm gonna give you this little thing. I'm going to close right here, I promise. Here's where I'm going to close. The thought that comes out of your mouth, that gets down to your mouth, to your tongue, close your mouth and let your tongue marinate that word. Taste it again. And either swallow it or let it go. Amen? If you get down there and taste it, go, wait, man, that's pretty good. That ain't going to hurt nobody. That's something good. I can let it go. If you get it down there and you taste it, you go, that ain't going to do nothing but hurt everybody. Swallow it. And you'll look like you will be a wise person. Amen? Tonight, before we leave here, my goal would be this. Let's all stand. Because we're going to pray something like this. God help my heart. And when I say that, some of y'all, maybe I need to clarify. God help my mind, my heart, where I do all my reasoning. God help me talk for you. Help me be a fresh water for this world. And God, let my tongue drive a path for me that is pleasing to you. Let me stop doing damage with my words. Let me stop doing damage with my words. Let's pray somewhere along those lines. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly tonight. This message has been very convicting to me. This has been through the preparation of this and the last couple of days. I need to watch how I talk. I need to let you lead, guide, and direct my mouth, my heart, my thoughts. God, forgive me where I've said things and hurt people with my words. Help me do better because I want to do better. Let me add the accountability in my life. And God, your Holy Spirit, hold me accountable as well. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. We look for the day for you to come. And while we're looking for you to come, we are going to be actively sharing through actions, words, and deeds the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight we pray for Bud and Anna, and we pray for Gene Welch. Lord God, several just different prayer requests, unspoken requests in the church, physical needs, healings that need to take place in our church, people that are sick, going through cancer, fighting depression, anxiety, fighting grief. Lord God, I pray right now that your Spirit would help in every one of these needs. Watch over our children, watch over our elders, and watch on everybody in between of our church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank y'all.